So let's pray for this message, okay? Because I am not my husband. You know, okay. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into these words. Open up our ears to hear and our hearts to receive all that you have for us today. And silence all the noise of our lives and our own minds so that we can be open to receive. Let us hear how you tell us how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week, Jack spoke about his injury and how God's been speaking to him through this time of recovery and how it's all in our minds, right? He mentioned at the beginning of the sermon that I was going to have a chance to a rebuttal. Do you all remember that? I do too. Here it is, my chance. I have a big issue. I have no rebuttal because I agreed with everything he said. So, is Jack always the perfect patient? No. Am I always the perfect caregiver?
No.
I'm always God. And I'm going to be speaking to myself today as much as I am you, really. One way that I haven't been the perfect caregiver is that I sometimes forget to put his sock on the right foot first. Now, you would think that I could remember that, but I don't. I have to put the right sock on the foot first before his pants or his brace, because otherwise I can't get the sock on correctly, and we all know what that's like. Now, maybe you are not picky about how your socks are on your feet. I am, and so is he. And if they don't feel right, the feet complain all day long, don't they? So, putting the sock on first guarantees that I have room to be sure that the toes are in the top of the sock right, and that the heel is where it needs to be, and that I can pull it all the way up the leg, right? Okay, that is very important, because when you first put the pants on and then the brace, you can't get the sock on right, and then it's all bunched up at the bottom, and this is not cool. For some reason, Jack does not think this is funny. I get tickled when I forget. All he wants is his socks on, right? And I'm sure that he's very glad that he can put the sock on the left foot. And he looks forward to when he can put his own socks and shoes on again. That's a really big amen, I'm here to tell you. Now, I do other weird stuff, like I forget to get him the drink of water that he asked for so he can take his pills. So he has to ask again. Or what about our first adventure out to go to a movie? I completely forgot to get him a wheelchair to make that long walk into the movie so much easier for him. You know, the electric wheelchair lives here at the church. And so I borrow a regular wheelchair from here if we need it. But oh no, I forgot. You know, not this time. So he had to walk the entire way. You know, dropped him off at Carmike and he had to walk that whole way in. He was exhausted. By the time he got there, his shoulders and his hands were whining really loud. So you can pray that I remember the next time. And Jack is living out that scripture about Peter when Jesus talks to him in John 21:18. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. He's living that one. So this can be a not fun place to be, can it not? And some of us are in that place right now. And we choose not to be if we could just choose how our bodies were going to work. But no, we can't. While I worked as a nurse, I knew a lot about caring for patients, but I didn't learn how important it is to give the patient as much control over their situation as you can. I still forget that lesson sometimes with Jack, but for the most part, I learned it really well in caring for my dad and Jack's dad, K.O. He was quite verbal about that, and our good friend, Nelda. So let them choose what time they want to get up, go to bed, take a shower, or not take a shower, eat, and what they're going to eat. Let them make as many choices in the situation as possible. You know, none of us knows when we'll be the one who's called to be a caregiver or when we'll be the one who needs to receive the care. That's another thing I learned. How would you want to be treated if the shoe were on the other foot, so to speak? When you answer that question, you'll approach life differently. With Jack and me, it happened instantaneously. As soon as I heard him screaming and watched him fall, I knew it was really bad, and Kathy Hating ran to her car to get her cell phone to dial 911. Where are the cell phones when you need them? Hello, at prison, they're locked up in your cars because you can't take them in. One moment he was fine, and the next he was badly injured. One moment I was just doing my own thing, and the next moment I was making sure that Jack was getting all the best possible care he could get. I went to war. I was praying over him. I was consulting with people in the ambulance and driving to the ER so that he would have an advocate when he got there. It's so important for someone who's hurt to have someone to be for them in the midst of all that turmoil. Another set of ears is needed so that the words spoken are heard correctly. Two or three sets of ears are not bad either. Also, when a person is hurt, they don't always think clearly, do they? And they can't always ask for what they need, like a warm blanket to keep them from going into shock, or that vital drink of water. Now, when we're married, we hope that it'll be our spouse who will choose to be that person, but that may not be the case. Sometimes the spouse isn't able to be there to help us due to schedules, children, conflicts with work, or other reasons. So that's when we better start praying hard for God to provide someone to step up. And what if you're not married? What if you're single and you don't live close to your family? What if you're away at college? Or what if you're a teenager who gets hurt playing sports, but your parents are working and they can't be there for you the whole time? Who's going to be your helper? Who's going to care for your physical, emotional, and spiritual needs until you can do it for yourself again? Sometimes it's a neighbor or a roommate, close friend. Sometimes it's someone you'd never think about. But God sends that person to be your advocate and your supporter. Or God sends you to be the advocate and the supporter of a person in need. And that's when we have to ask ourselves a question. Am I willing to stop for the one? The title of this message is It's a Matter of the Heart. So we're going to look at our hearts today to see how we're doing in our relationship with God and with those in our environment. I have to say that as a caregiver, I feel rather inadequate to give this message because I know that there are some of you sitting out there that have been living this a lot longer than I have. And I'm sure that if we had time, that there would be mighty testimonies of how God has been there with you through it all. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." A man plans his course, but the Lord determines his step. God is watching over the caregiver and the one receiving the care and guides their steps even in the darkest hour. Prayer is going to be the first matter of the heart we're going to consider today. So how is your heart today? Is it beating in rhythm with God's heart? Can you hear his heart beating? When you love God with all your heart, that means you line up your will with his will for your life. It means you worship him with all of who you are. So how's your heart today? We have to answer that question because we have to know the answer before we can be God's agent in either giving care or in receiving care from someone. To answer the question, we must be communicating with God, heart to heart, heart to heart. We need to be in prayer, a holy conversation with him. We need to check ourselves and see, are we really listening to what God has to say? Or are we just doing all the talking? Are we following him, or are we going on our own agenda and our own path? So we're going to pause for a moment right now, and we're going to listen to God. So just pause. Jesus, please come and speak to our hearts, and let us receive your message and experience the love that you have for us. when we take the time to listen to God and take the time to intercede for those other people in our lives, then our hearts will be lined up with His and we'll be where He wants us to be. I noticed that when people in the last 5 weeks have been asking Jack how they can pray for him, he usually answers by pointing to me and say, pray for my caregiver, which I appreciate. But he'll be glad to tell you there's no such thing as an unselfish act. He wants to be sure he gets good care. And it's essential to us so that we can fully live in the Lord's presence all the time, praying. And when we pray, we need to be specific. For example, I pray for Jesus to knit the tendon for Jack back onto his kneecap. And I pray for God to take away the pain he's experiencing in his knee and in his arms and his hands and his shoulders while he's using the walker. I pray for God to send people to him to give Jack words of encouragement. And I'm not going to stop praying for him to get up out of that chair and walk supernaturally. You know, would you not love to see that? Would it not be great that when he goes to see the doctor on Wednesday, he's going to say, well, this leg is healed. And Jack gets up and walked. I mean, I would just love to see that. But be specific when you pray for yourself or for others. And remember that prayer is the best thing that you can do. I hear people say all the time, I wish I could do more. All I can do is pray. Really? Really? That's the very best thing you can do. And you can pray for God to send the people to do the things that you can't do. When our hearts are connected to God's heart, then He leads us to be connected with the body of Christ. And that's going to be the next part of our hearts we're going to look at this morning, the body of Christ. So I want you to read with me 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 27. You ready? But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Well, that part where it says, when one part suffers, all suffer together, Jack is living that firsthand. He has heart knowledge of that. And I'm sure some of you do too, if your body's not well. You know, the body is like our spacesuit that we live in while we're here on Earth. And when it's working great, we are unaware of the intricate functioning that it does for us, are we not? But then if one or two or three parts decide to get wrong, man, oh man, oh man, not only does the spacesuit need some help and need repair, but then all the other parts have to take over to make up for what that part's not doing, right? Everything's affected by it. For Jack, it's his upper body. You know, his body is glad that the right knee and the tendon are healing and feeling better, but the shoulders, the arms, and the hands are screaming because they've been having to do the work of the right leg, and they are saying, hello, would you please notice that we are not meant to walk? You know, we are happy for you, knee and leg, that you aren't hurting so badly and that you are getting repaired, but we are now hurting. We are now hurting because we took over your job, and we were not meant for taking over your job, and we need you to get well so that we can go back to doing what we were meant to do, you know. So could you get back to work right now and let us rest? And you know, the body of Christ is the same way, isn't it? When one of us hurts, all of us hurt, don't we? And you guys have been hurting with us. Seriously, we are so aware of that during this whole ordeal of his severed ligament and that broken kneecap. And we actually feel your prayers, and we understand that you are feeling our pain. Because you go the extra mile and meet our needs when we don't even ask for it. It's just done for us. And this is what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Our hearts, our wills being lined up with God and connected to his body. Because Jesus is the head, and he pumps his blood, his life, into the body of Christ through his heart. And it's a matter of your heart How is your heart connected to the body of Christ? Now let's go back to the scripture and look at it again. See where it says, if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Read that with me. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. The whole section in 1 Corinthians is about us being one body with many parts. If we're one body, then we function as one and we don't all go our separate ways, do we? Would that not be a mess? Can you envision your body? It would be a mess. What we experience here at Lampstand is the body of Christ functioning as one. One of the reasons that that is true is because we honor each other. Honor is the next part of the heart that we're going to look at today. Honor means that we show high respect, dignity, glory, and esteem. We give each other the freedom to be who God has called us to be. The first time God mentions honor in the Bible is in the Ten Commandments. And I want you to read that with me. It's Exodus 20, verse 12. Ready? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, there's another place that he talks about honor in the Bible, and that's Romans 12, 10. I didn't put that in the bulletin. I didn't know Jack has all of that lined out by Wednesday, just so y'all know. I didn't get that. Okay, moving on. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. So if one part of the body is honored, then every body, part of the body rejoices with it. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor's part of who God is. And he wants us to follow him in honoring him and others. It's a matter of our heart. God's heart is to honor us. Is honoring God and others a part of your heart? Whether we are the ones who are giving care to others or if we're the ones who are being cared for, we are to honor one another. It starts with honoring with our parents and moves on to honoring others above ourselves. And this is not easy. I mean, it sounds really nice here Sunday morning, doesn't it? For this little time that we're taking. But it is not easy in the real world, is it? It's not been easy for me. Yet Jesus is asking us to follow him in honoring others. Now, this is just a tad off the subject, but have you thought about honoring the people who have gone before you? Those people in your life who prayed for you to receive salvation, those who prayed you through a rough time, those who were members of this church before us and who prayed for us, the next generation. You know, that's why I opened in prayer in honoring those who have gone before us in this church and in our own lives. Honoring. That's what Colleen was doing. Honoring us by thanking us for all that we've done for her. Giving honor to those in our lives is a lifestyle that we work in us and cultivate it around us. In Zechariah 4:6, I know it doesn't say anything about it, but I want you to read that with me. Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Because I'm here to tell you, there is no way that we can honor others above ourselves without Holy Spirit. He has to be in us, on us, and all around us for us to be able to honor others as God honors us. As we honor others, we empower them to know God and to walk into the fullness of who God says they are. Isn't that what we want for ourselves and for those we love? So how do we do this? We create a safe place. In the relationship of caregiver and the one receiving care, both need to have a safe place to be in. For me as the caregiver right now, I work on being sure that Jack is in a safe environment, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I let him down some on that. For the first 2 weeks, I wouldn't let our 80-pound golden retriever sleep in the bedroom with Jack because he likes to jump up on the bed. And that was really not a good thing for that right leg. Not a good thing. I also try to focus on listening, being a listening ear to hear what Jack is really saying, whether it's funny, real, or him not being patient with his body. And he, on the other hand, honors me by trying to adjust his schedule to my schedule and waiting patiently on me when I forget to do something. Another way to honor others is to keep your mouth closed. You know, I pray for God to put duct tape over my mouth. I recommend it. Because if I'm going to speak something that's not of Him, that's going to bring death to somebody instead of life, I don't want to say it. I really don't. So I pray for duct tape to be put over my mouth. Sometimes I peel it off. Holy Spirit comes and empowers us and releases us to be who He created us to be. And as we move into understanding who we are to God, the more we will honor others above ourselves. The more we realize how much Jesus loves us and that we're His favorite, the more we will extend His love out to others. Now listen carefully to this. God wants you to know that you are His favorite, Brian. And He wants you to know that you're His favorite, Carol. And He wants you to know that you're His favorite, Marcia. He wants you to know that. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How can we all be His favorite? How is that possible? But we are. Because that's what He's telling us in 1 Corinthians 12. That we are all a part of one body and no part is better than the other. Is it? We're all His favorites. We're all indispensable to God the Father. So receive that message. You are His favorite. Now let's read Luke 10:27 together. It's down at the bottom of the scriptures. And He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Read that with me again. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." This is how God loves us. This is how God loves us. He loves us with all of His heart, with all of His soul, all of His strength, and all of His mind. And He wants us to love Him and our neighbor as He loves us. As my grandson Michael would say to you, he really, 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 really does love you just that way. He really, really, really does. He does. He says it just that way, doesn't he? He's not asking us to do anything that He's not doing. And He's asking us to be who He is. He is love. And He's asking us to do that too. He wants us to be there. And we can only do this if we choose to obey Him. It's a matter of the heart to choose to obey. So as we look at how this fits into the body of Christ and taking care of others and being cared for, we have to say that God is asking us to love them as Jesus loves them. God is asking us to take care of others as if we're caring for Jesus Himself. And those who are being cared for receive the care as if Jesus Himself is caring for you. When we get thrust into a situation that's beyond our control, that can be thrown at us instantaneously, Jesus wants us to focus on Him. He is asking us to release control of the situation and let Him just flow through us. Just release the control. You know, we only let as much of Jesus flow through us as we've allowed Him to pour into us. Receiving God's love into our hearts and letting Him set us free allows us for Him to use us to set others free. and to love others as he loves them, it's all a choice. He's asking each of us if we care enough to stop for the one. Do we love Jesus enough to stop for the one? Do we see the one as a burden or an opportunity? And if we're the one being cared for, do we see ourselves as a burden or an opportunity to receive more from God? Are you willing to stop for the one? If you choose to stop for the one, will you love them as Jesus loves them? Will you love them as if you are Jesus? Will you let Jesus flow through you to them? The last matter of the heart we're going to consider this morning is peace, the peace of Jesus. Jesus wants to give you his peace, and he wants you to spread it to others. And peace flows out of knowing that we are loved without any strings attached. It's a primary force of being a part of the body of Christ. When we walk in here, we see others who are a part of this body, and we experience peace here. Read with me John 14. Is that right? Yeah, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Keep going. I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Jesus leaves us his peace. Actually, he places his peace into us. And the world cannot take it away unless we let it. His peace is always available to us if we will simply choose to hold on to it no matter what the world throws at us. Jesus is asking us to draw from his peace all the time. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Imagine the peace that is beyond anything we can understand, standing guard over your hearts and your mind. Peace, to me, means quiet, tranquility, calm waters, resting in a green pasture, maybe throwing a few flowers and blue sky, and everything's right in the world, right? Here's another aspect of peace. It stands guard over our hearts and our minds. Jesus wants us to choose to speak with him in prayer. He wants us to honor others above ourselves as he does. He wants us to know how much we are loved so that we can love our neighbors as ourselves. And he wants us to experience the power of his peace, which goes beyond all understanding that we have here on earth. All of this is experienced in this body of Christ. Jesus asks you today, how's your heart? Is your heart lined up with mine? Do you love God with all of who you are? Do you realize that God loves you with all of who he is? Have you chosen to receive his love for you so that it'll spill out on others? Have you chosen peace from Jesus over the trials of the world? Are you experiencing peace guarding your heart and your mind? That is God's desire for all of us, to experience the power of his love, honor, and peace, moment to moment, every day. He wants us to walk in the reality that there is always enough of him, enough of his love, and that his storehouse never runs dry, never. There is always enough. Always enough. Always enough. Let's pray. Jesus, show us the condition of our heart. Reveal to us those places where we need our hearts fulfilled by your love. Reveal to us where you are calling us to stop for the one. Reveal to us how we can love you more completely as a part of the body of Christ. And show us that there's always enough in you. There's always enough in you. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.